You were there till 1964, and then you came to Tulsa. Yeah. How did that come about?
Well, I was a little bit disappointed in Washington in that it's a big pond. Nobody knows anybody. In other words, you don't know the guy on the corner who's selling you the newspaper. And, you know, most people live 45 minutes from downtown in one of the many communities. And you don't really deal with clients. You deal with associations mostly. So I thought I'd try some real law. And, of course, there's a big difference between practicing when you have a real person or a real corporation as a client as opposed to, let's say, the National Hairdressers and Cosmetologists Association. Washington was fun, and I was doing well and so forth. I just figured, well, let's go to Oklahoma and try it out. I may have had in the back of my mind the idea maybe of some politics. But anyway, I got married in Washington to a Washington girl.
And her name?
Her name was Mary Alice Myers. She was a graduate of Georgetown and Penn State and an artist, pretty good artist. And I remember in order to drive out here, I needed $300. I went to the bank to borrow $300. And the guy says, well, what's the collateral? I said, well, there's no collateral. You're just going to have to give it to me. And I remember him giving me this $300. I got that $300, and we drove out, and it turned out right in the middle of the race problems. Because we went through Mississippi, and on one occasion, a car came along at night and tried to run us off the road, and on a couple occasions, we saw flaming bonfires out in the countryside. And on another occasion, we were refused service in a little Mississippi restaurant. I was wearing a cord coat, and I had a Corvair with a Washington license plate, and we was Georgetown looking as you could possibly be. In retrospect, it probably was sort of dangerous. This was right around the time that those murders and disappearances occurred. But we drove up and got into Tulsa in, like, February. Well, within 3 months of the time Kennedy was killed, I was in Tulsa. And that was a big watershed moment in Washington. So then I started pounding the pavement looking for a job. But I had a couple of experiences in Washington that were worth noting. I had gotten a commission as an officer in the District of Columbia National Guard, which was a military police unit. That was 2 years of Saturday mornings at 4 o'clock, a terrible price to pay. Anyway, I got my commission, which I wanted to have. And we got nationalized for weekends. One of the time we were nationalized was the Kennedy funeral. I had my own driver and car, and I actually drove in the front of the White House with my car driver and radio operator and was right there when they brought the horse out with the boots in backwards. And then my unit, which was a platoon of military policemen, had a sector where the parade went. Ted Kennedy and Jacqueline and Charles de Gaulle and all the family marched from the White House on 16th Street down Connecticut about 8 blocks, and then turned right, went to the church that was there. And we had the last block, my 30 guys. We were told in advance that the Jackal was in town, and that we should look out for the Jackal. You remember the Jackal was the one that was supposedly trying to assassinate Charles de Gaulle? There's a great movie called The Day of the Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how are we going to tell who the Jackal is? And they said, well, he's wearing a shearling coat. We were on the lookout for the Jackal, who never turned up. But the most amazing event I got in was shortly before I got a commission. They picked all of us up one morning at 5 o'clock, all the National Guard, and put us in 2.5-ton trucks and took us all over town, dropping us off at various intersections. I said, well, what's going on here? I hadn't paid much attention. I was practicing law during the week. They said, well, there's going to be a big march on Washington. As luck would have it, I and my other 6 compatriots, all E1s in the military police with our white hats and our John Browns and our billy clubs, were dropped at the Lincoln Memorial. And I said, well, what's our mission? They said, well, you're to keep the crowds back. We put out a little picket fence, one of those little snow fences. We were behind it, and it was like 6:30 in the morning, and there wasn't a soul there, not a soul. By 7, they were beginning to build a scaffold. By 9, the scaffold was finished, and by that time, the people came in, and that afternoon, you had the 500,000 people. You know, you've seen these pictures of all the people stretching from the Lincoln Memorial all the way to the Washington Memorial around the reflecting pool. Well, the 6 guys to hold back that crowd were the 6 members of the 281st Military Police Battalion. And of course, we just stood there. It was quite interesting because there was a lot of people fainting. It was a hot day, and when they were hemmed in, they couldn't get any water, and we had a lot of heat prostration. But other than that, everyone was very well behaved.
And that was the event of
the Martin Luther King March on Washington.
Right.
He had made the I Have a Dream speech the night before at a church, but he got up and spoke. Peter, Paul, and Mary got up and sang. You know, it was the whole nine yards.
And then you heard him speak there, obviously.
Yeah, I heard all of them speak, and they were amazing. A lot of political figures came.
What drove you to the military service?
We had troops in Cambodia. Southeast Asia was just sort of a small blip. Kennedy began to get us into Vietnam. We didn't need many troops. But we had a law passed. Every one of my fellow college students had to serve. You would get a 2S exemption when you went away to college. If you didn't go to college, you'd go in the draft pool. You got that 2S exemption, and I had it for 7 years. The draft boards were just waiting for you. You had 30 days when you got out of law school to sign up for something.
This would have been in the year 19...
This would have been the year 1961 I graduated from law school. So each one of us, we'd sit around and have coffee and say, what are you going to do? You had these options. 6 months Marine program, you got out, you had no commission. This is what Bobby Lorton did. Or you could join the Marines, try to get into OCS, but that meant 3 or 4 years. Or you can go overseas with JAG, that was 3 or 4 years. So what I did was I joined the District of Columbia National Guard and went away for 6 months. Came back and went to an officer candidate school on a weekend. So what you do is when you see a man walking around the street who is 72 years old or older, he had a military obligation that could not be avoided, and so virtually all of us went. I mean, it's almost impossible to find anybody in my generation that didn't serve in one form or the other.